Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to talk about the power of God this morning. A little bit about the power of God. To fit that into 30 minutes, we'll take the power of God. But hey, we believe in it. But not only are we going to just talk about the power of God today, we're going to activate it today. And at the end of my message, I'm going to call the worship team back up, and they're going to lead us back into worship a little bit. We'll only keep you here till 3 o'clock, so don't be afraid. I hope you brought your lunch, because we're going to have fun. I'm kidding. If you're a visitor, I'm kidding. But we are going to talk about the power of God, because without it, we're in big trouble. You got to have the power of God. The whole Bible is filled with the power of God. Amen? And I mean, it starts, there's many themes in the power, in the Bible. There's the theme of the blood. The blood starts in Genesis chapter 3, runs all the way through. Family, family is a great theme in the Bible. Starts in Genesis chapter 3, runs all the way through the Bible. All, you know, love, the love of God starts in Genesis, runs all the way through the Bible. But you know, another theme that runs all the way through the Word of God is the power of God. It didn't just start in the book of Acts. It started in the Old Testament. In fact, Israel was known to be a nation impacted by the power of God. That's why Paul said, and I'll have you sit in a minute, so hang in there. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the Greeks seek for wisdom. The Jews seek for miracles and signs and wonders. But then he said, but Christ is unto us wisdom and power. The Jews were born in power. They experienced the power of God. They lost it, but they experienced it. The Greeks loved to be intellectual and talk and have wisdom and debates. Paul went up on Mars Hill in the book of Acts and debated with them. And the Greek culture then debated about wisdom and God and who's God. They loved to talk about all of it. The Jews wanted to demonstrate it. That's why when Jesus showed up, when he did to the Jews, they were stunned that he was actually living in the power of God. He demonstrated it. He didn't just talk about it. They had not seen that for 400 years, but they knew it in their history. The history of Israel was God's power from the parting of the Red Sea to Elijah and Elisha and all the other prophets. They knew, they understood power. Jesus came and said, I am the power source. He who believes in me, he's going to experience it. God wants us to know that. You say, well, that was good for Jesus. Listen, we are still living in a day. The book of Acts chapter 1 and 2, it started it. Hasn't stopped yet. The power of God. So let's open in prayer as we jump into this. Father, thank you for your power. We are living in a day, God, as we look around the world, we're saying, oh, we need your power. There's a lot of voices that are demonstrating their own sense of power. A lot of political movements demonstrating a sense of power. We know the devil is up to something no good with his power, but we have a source in the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus, that is a power that can break the captives free, that can heal human bodies, that can cast out devils, that can change cities. It's not just the power, Father, we talk about. It's a power you have demonstrated and are demonstrating in this earth right now. What I'm asking today, Father, is that you would help us individually, hearing this in this room and online, that we would understand it in our own personal lives and live it, walk it, and not just talk about it. Because, Father, it is really your power that is so needed right now in our lives, in our families, in our city, and in our world. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God bless you. So we're talking about the fact that the power of God is throughout the Bible. And so I'm gonna give you a little story and see if you can guess who I'm talking about. Because this little story will illustrate kind of where the church is right now to a degree. There was a guy who was born with an angelic visitation to his parents saying, this guy is going to be raised up and separated unto God. He's going to be a Nazarite. Don't let any booze get to his mouth. Don't let anything happen to him in his life that's going to separate him from God. And here's the giveaway. And don't ever cut his hair. Who am I talking about? Samson. Now, I wouldn't know anything about him because he had a lot of hair. But I'm going to do what I can to talk about a guy with hair. So he had hair. And it was that symbolism of not cutting his hair that was the power of God on his life. Samson, to me, the Holy Spirit was talking to me about this last week, is a great example of where the church is today. Samson was born into the power of God. For many years, he killed lions with his bare hands. He killed the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. He was amazing. The guy freaked people out wherever he went. Now, we envision Samson kind of like he must have looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not necessarily. He could have looked like me. And that's pretty pathetic, isn't it? But he could have looked like me with hair. It didn't mean he had human muscles. He had kingdom muscle. He had Holy Ghost muscle. He had power. And I mean, these people were freaked out. When he walked into the camps of the Philistines, they stepped back. Samson was one of the judges of Israel. There were many judges, but he was one of the judges from Judges chapter 13 to 16. He made a mark on history. So just like the church, we were born into power in Acts chapter 1 and 2. We were born into understanding the anointing of God. We were born with signs and wonders in our hands. You read the Holy Spirit came down on the upper room. It didn't stop in the upper room. It came out of the upper room. They went to the streets. They went to the highways and byways. And eventually they covered the earth with it. They understood God's power had to be not just talked about, but released. And just like Samson, we were born into power. We, you and I, are children of power, the power of God. I'm not talking about your own power. We don't have any. Soon as we get that understood, we're doing better. I'm talking about the power of God. Now, I have understood, and so have you, the power of God. I have felt it through my hands. I have understood the power of the anointing. I was born again many years ago. 1 week later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I thought being born again was amazing. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I shot off to planet heaven, I think. And I don't know what happened, but my life transformed, turned upside down. The power of God came on me. I immediately began to go into the streets, tell people about Jesus, lay hands on the sick. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't raised a Christian. I didn't know the Bible, but I understood there was something that came on me that was powerful. It was Jesus. It was the anointing. And he had to release it. He wanted to get out of me and give it to other people. And so Samson was born in power. So were we. But something happened to Samson. Samson compromised his power. Samson compromised his position. He fell, he was a womanizer. The guy loved women. All right, God bless the guy. But he shouldn't have done it because it really ruined his ministry and his testimony in Israel. One day he ran into a lady named Delilah. He started having an affair with her, and she was approached by the Philistines, coaxed it out of him. Where's his power coming from? What's going on with him? And she had him lay down on her lap. He fell asleep on her lap after he told her the secret. While he was sleeping, she got some scissors from Ace Hardware, and she cut his hair, bam, 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 and cut his hair. And she said, Samson, wake up. They're coming to get you. He thought he still had the power. He woke up, but he didn't have the power. They arrested him. They tied him up. They threw him in jail, and bad things happened to Samson. They gouged out his eyes. They made a joke of him, and it was a terrible time for Samson, who once knew the power of God, but compromised it by laying on the lap of Delilah. And I felt like what God said to me, you can agree with it or not, but we, the body of Christ, I'm not saying you individually, I'm not saying this church, I'm saying generally, some churches, not all churches, some Christians, and not all Christians, we have fallen asleep in a compromised position with the world, Delilah, and we've lost the power of God. And I'm telling you right now, God is restoring it. There's a restoration going on in our land with the kingdom of God, and you and I can either jump into the river or stay on the bank and wave to the rest of us. But you can either jump in and get back, get off of Delilah's lap, get out of the world system, get out of compromise, and get back to where God wants us to be so that we can be the Samsons of the day. That's what God wants. And I'm telling you, not only does God want it, God's going to have it. He's not waiting on your or my position. My permission has nothing to do with it. God's going to do it because God loves this world. God loves people. And so we have this Samson thing. Now, there's a good part of Samson. Samson eventually woke up. He repented, and they brought him out to mock him. And he said to this little boy, put my hands on the pillars. And yet, while he put his hand, and this is all true. I'm not making this up. I don't read bedtime stories. You know, this is in the Bible. And he put his hands on the pillars, and he said, God, give me that power one more time. One more time that I can make a mark for your kingdom again. And he pushed those pillars apart miraculously. The temple fell down, the religious temple. 3,000 Philistines were killed in that one moment. That one moment. Because a man repented of his compromise with the world and God restored his power and he wiped out the enemy. I'm telling you right now, God's about to wipe out the enemy. And I'm telling you, he wants to. You don't have to beg him to do it. You don't have to twist God's arm. Oh, God, please crush the enemy. Are you kidding? He gave his son on the cross to crush the enemy. He gave his only son to defeat Satan. God is all about defeating the devil. So we have Samson who lost it. Well, he had it. He compromised it, and he got it back. So what's it for us? Here's the promise that we have, the promise of God's power for us. If you can put it up there. There it is, by golly. No, that's 2 Timothy. You know what? Keep that there anyway. That's fine. Because I want to drop down. Look at, not only does Samson compromise it. This is good, Mandy. Thank you. Verse 5, jump down to, verse 1. You should know this. This is Timothy. That in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, let me tell you something. We're in the last of the last days. If you're waiting around for the last days to come in 10 years or 20 years, listen, you and I are the chosen generation. You're in it. Get ready. Get prepared. You're called of God to be in this hour. Oh, but we've heard that before. Oh, but we've never seen it before. We're seeing it. Oh, but I want time to raise my kids and everything. You can raise them in heaven after the rapture. It's okay. Heaven's a great place. They have a big nursery up there if you need to raise your kids up there. This is the last days. And so Paul told Timothy, all of these things are going to be happening. I'm not going to read through all that. There's going to be jealousy and violence and everything else. But the last verse, verse 5, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. That's what's happening right now in our day. There's a lot of religion, oh, God bless you. Oh, God bless you. There's a lot of religious stuff going on. Listen, just saying God bless you doesn't make you a person who knows the God in his name that you're using. Religion is not God's program. Jesus is. Jesus Christ is. And Jesus changes men. Notice what they do. And we'll go back to that verse. Notice what they do. They will act religious, but they will reject the power of God. Samson compromised it. Many are doing that as believers. This generation he's talking about here will reject it. Meaning what? We don't need God's power. We can be holy on our own. We can get to God in our own way. We don't need God's power to help us live this life. We can just say, God bless you, and then go about our own way and do our own thing. Rejecting God's power will land you in deep trouble. There's a rejection of God's power happening. Why? Because when you say yes to God's power, that brings you to your knees. It brings you to a place of surrender and submission and an understanding it's about Jesus in you and not you. It's not you. It's not me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So there's a rejection going on. There's a compromise going on. But here's the promise that God's made to all of us. If you would go ahead and put that up now. The promise that God has made in Luke 24:49. This is Jesus. Pastor Reese is in his red letter series. You know the red letter words of Jesus? Here's Jesus. Behold, I am sending forth the promise. Say promise. Of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with what? With what? With power, not with goosebumps, though that you can just feel good, though that's fine. I love goosebumps. Not with just going to church, not with religion, with power, dunamis, dynamite, power. This is the same power that Jesus walked in when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Power. When it says that he that woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5 came up to him and touched the hem of his garment, it literally says Jesus felt the power of God leave his body. That's power. That's the power God has for you and me in this day. See, we are so removed in so many ways from understanding this, that when you get around it, you're not sure what it is. The power of God can be scary, but it can be transformational. The power of God will challenge you, but it can also heal you. The power of God shook up people around him. You've read the Gospels. They freaked out. Some people ran to him to hear it. Others ran away from him because they were scared. This power was causing a stir. Jesus said, wait, because the same power that I had is coming on you, believers. It's coming on you. That's a promise made. And you know what? We hear this a lot today. It's also a promise kept. That's a promise made, and it's a promise kept by the King of Kings. The power of God. We have a promise. Now, we're not going to take time to look at all the scriptures about it, but read Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3. Read the promises of that promise being fulfilled, and it shook the city of Jerusalem. It changed the world on that day of Pentecost. There it is right there. It changed the world that day when the power came. Jesus said, my power will come upon you. You'll be my witnesses. So what's the power for? You tell me. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit, who? Holy Spirit. When he comes upon you, and you shall be my what? Witnesses. So put those two together. The power comes so that what? You can be a witness. Can I get a witness? That's why it's there. So the power isn't just there, though it is. It's not just there for your benefit personally. We'll look at that in a minute. It's there to be a witness, verbally, physically, so that when you lay hands on the sick, you have confidence that the power will show up. The power will be demonstrated. Isn't that right, Ezra? You got it. This young man, he knows. The power of God. So we have a promise of it, and we have the purpose of it. I want you to look at the scriptures, the purpose of God's power. If I'm moving too quick, you can look at this later or forget about it totally. But the purpose of God's power is to help you. I'm going to have them put that scripture up, Ephesians chapter 3, because I want to see this first of all for you, because God loves you. God cares about you. But the power of God, look at this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to the what? That works where? What? It works in you, not just some evangelist. It works in you, little old me. Yeah, little old Pat. Came into my life when I was 22 years old. Changed me, transformed me overnight. I was different. Haven't looked back since by the grace of God. It comes within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about this power within you first. The power that comes within you. See, there's two works of grace. We are born again by the grace of God. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. Both are powers that come into your life. When you're born again, the power of God, you can't be born again without the power of God. Now, the Holy Spirit baptism comes upon you. The Bible, Jesus said it earlier, we read it. It will clothe you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and clothe you with power. The salvation, the Holy Spirit's power will come within you to change you. I needed a lot of change. I was raised in a very dark, dysfunctional family and lifestyle. Don't want to get into any of it because it's under the blood, but it was very, very bad. I see traces of it to this day in family members, etc. But I had a lot of problems, a lot of baggage in me, even after I was born again. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of darkness. And I remember, and God started healing me with the power that was within me from day one. Helping me. But there was a specific time, though, in about 1992, living here in the area, and I was married by then. We had two lovely children. Everything was great. I mean, I was a pastor. But I still had a lot of healing to have happen in my life. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you everything. The wives know. Hi, honey. The wives know. But I remember around 1992, God visited me just as I laid in my bed. Two or three nights in a row. And I was just laying there. I didn't ask for it, didn't expect it. He just started showing up. The power of God in me began to just erase and heal and deliver and remove stuff out of my life. In 3 days' time, I was so healed. I had a counseling appointment with God without even asking for it. And he showed up and the power in me did something through me. Whereas before, I could not go to the house I was raised in and park there without weeping and crying in pain. When that happened, I went over to that home on purpose and parked there and no pain, no memories, just healing flowed and the love of God flowed. Healing through the power in you. That's one of the purposes of the power for you. Ask him for it. Don't waste it. Get into his word and let the spirit and the word work together in your life. Because you can be healed too. We all have junk. All of us on planet Earth. But the other one is the power is to help other people. If you would please, Mark 16. Mark 16. So the power is for other people. These signs will accompany those who have believed. Are you a believer? Raise your hand. Look at somebody, say, I'm a believer. Look at that, you just made a testimony. This is powerful, it's happening right here. Those who believe, in my name, they will cast out demons. What, there's demons? Yeah, they're all over the place. They're cloaked, they're dressed, they smile, they smell good, but they're demons. And they're all over America, and don't kid yourself. We're dealing with them like Israel did, only we're afraid of them, we don't comprehend it. But we have power to deal with them. We cast out devils. We speak with new tongues. What? The prayer language, tongues, wonderful gift. You need it. Receive it. It's free. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. That means you can drink whiskey every night. No problem. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Pastor Reese, I'm kidding. No whiskey. It will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. They will what? Recover. Here's why a lot of Christians don't do this anymore. Because they laid hands on the sick and they didn't see recovery and they thought there was something wrong with you. The Bible doesn't say you lay hands on the sick and somehow you make them better. You lay hands on the sick and God will do the other part. But if we, and listen, and there's a class coming up, by the way, starting next week right here at Virgil and Mark. Teaching a class at 10:45 on healing, biblical healing, how to receive it, how to give it. Here's what's happening to a lot of Christians today. We've given up. We stopped laying hands on the sick because we didn't see the results we thought we should have. We withdrew. We laid our head on the lap of Delilah. We started getting comfortable and lazy and compromising. And God is saying, where's my church? Where are they? Well, God, you know, it didn't really work that well. Kind of, we didn't see what we wanted to see. The power didn't show up like we wanted. And so we just kind of withdrew. I locked my hands in the safe. I can't use these precious hands now to lay hands on the sick. Where's my church? Jesus is saying. He's the head. We're the body. We're the ones who have to get out there. Am I hurting your feelings today? I only get to preach now and then. I got to hit it heavy. So if you get bruised, Go home and put some ointment on it. But God's wanting us to wake up, get off of Delilah, get moving. So the power of God is for us personally, but it's also for others. But here's something we need to understand. We've got to really understand this. There's a purpose. There's a promise of God's power. There's a purpose of it. But there's also a place. A place. Say place. In fact, let's do this. This section over here, say promise. Purpose. Place. Beautifully done. Look at this choir. Beautifully done. There's a place of power. What do I mean by that? Go to Luke chapter 9 if you have that there. Luke 9 or Matthew 28, whichever. Okay. I want you to see this. You got to know this. Jesus called. This is Jesus. Yeah, that's right. The Son of God. Him. The King of Kings. Lord of Lords. The one who created heaven and earth. He's the deal. He called the 12 together and gave them. Now, he did this later with the 70. So some people say, well, he only did this with the 12. Wrong. He also did this with 70 others and sent them out. Right. Then he did it in the book of Acts with everybody. So we're all included. He called the 12 together and gave them power. Say power. And what? Authority. See, here's where we miss it many times. We think we have the power of God, but you don't think you have the authority. Well, that's like a policeman being out on Colfax directing traffic, but there's nobody backing him up from the police department. He's just out there with a badge on, and he doesn't even work for the police. And everybody thinks he's got a policeman, but all he just looks like one. But there's no authority behind him. But the second he puts on that uniform and everybody knows he's a policeman, he's getting paid for this, there's authority with that power. And you better stop if he's saying stop or you're going to get a big bad ticket. Believers, we have power, but we have authority. Well, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Satan only has power. He has no authority. That's the big deal. That's why you and I can go out and cast out devils. That's why Jesus did. Because when Jesus said, come out, he had the authority. And that's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, all authority, he said, Matthew 28, 18, all authority. And there it is. Voila. See, I speak and it shows up. This is amazing. It's like it's a miracle. Bam. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go out there then after this scripture. Go out there and do what I did. What did he give us? Authority. What does the devil not have? Authority. Now you say, come on, the devil has authority. Impossible. Colossians chapter 2 and 3, Jesus stripped him of all of it. He has no authority. Satan has no authority. Oh, but the devil, you know, he's pretty rough. Listen, I'd rather be with somebody with power and authority than just somebody with a little bit of power. Does Satan have power? Yes, but he can't use it against you because you have the authority to stop it. That's why we're told we can bind what we bind, we can loose what we loose. We have the authority. Amen. Listen, beloved, the last days are here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3, Paul's talking about that in the last days, the devil is going to show off. Well, there again. There, look what happened. Another miracle. That is the one who's coming in accord. This is talking about the Antichrist. With the activity of Satan. Satan and the Antichrist working together in harmony with evil. With all power. Notice power. Signs and false wonders. With the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. But notice he has power. But do you see the word authority up there anywhere? No. None. Stripped. Gone. Removed. Satan had authority when Adam gave him the earth. Satan had authority. But when Jesus hung on that cross, he took it back. And he has the authority now to everything. To heaven and all earth. And he says, here, church, not only do you have power, now in my name, you have the authority. To what? Speak life to your marriage. Speak blessing to your children. Lay hands on your bodies. Believe God to have the devil get away from your finances, your life. Speak blessing over your job. Tell the devil where to go every stinking day because he is defeated. He has no authority to stop the church of Jesus Christ. None. Well, why is he running wild right now? Because we are laying on the lap of Delilah. That's why. Satan's running nuts because the church is hiding. Hiding. I'm not saying get up and walk down Colfax as a church. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just get out there where you live. Take the authority you've got. Minister to people. Tell somebody you're born again. Tell somebody you believe in the power of God. Tell somebody Jesus is coming back. Be bold in your life. Wake up, church. You online. Don't shut me off now. You online. Same thing. Wake up. Jesus is alive. Satan is defeated. God's kingdom is ruling and reigning. God and the Holy Spirit are moving across this earth. Wake up. Get on board. Because it's about to break loose in a good way. In a good way. It's about to break loose in a good way. The kingdom way. The Jesus way. The Holy Spirit way, it's about to break loose. Oh, yeah, there's going to come a day where you're going to come to church, and you're not going to want to sit there. You're going to want to run around and shout, Jesus is alive. There's going to be electricity flowing through your body. Well, that's just crazy, Pat. No, when you get the Holy Spirit and the power, it's like electricity. Trust me, if you've never experienced it. But do you have to have that to operate it? No, you don't have to feel anything. Just do it, though. You don't have to feel like you should lay hands on the sick. Just do it. Just obey the word. Let Jesus back it up. Let the Holy Spirit prove himself. So, what am I saying? I have no clue. No, I do. I do know what I'm saying. Worship team, come back up, would you please? Here's the deal. Let me put up these three as they're getting ready here. What do we do now? Be ready. See those three magical words again? Be ready. What does that mean, be ready? Shake yourself. Wake up a little bit. Say, am I where God wants me to be? Am I operating in what God wants me to operate in? Am I reading the Bible? Do I pray? Do I even have the prayer language called tongues in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Be ready, because the days are coming where God needs a ready church. And don't think, well, Pastor Reese and Pastor Sarah will do it all. No, they won't. They're going to be a part of it. We're the body of Christ. We're all going to do it. Be ready. Secondly, ask. Stand up where you are right now. Would you please? Ask. Just ask. Say this with me. Father, I'm asking. I don't want to be on Delilah's lap. I want to run with Jesus. Stir me up. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Refresh my life with your power and your glory and your anointing. I don't want to be on the back row. I want to be right in the game with you, Jesus, touching lives. Touch me now, Jesus, with your spirit. And the last one before we go back into worship, I told you when I started, we're not just going to talk about this, we're going to activate it. There's been enough talking going on in the church. Enough talking with Christians. Oh, don't you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Then we go home, we don't even talk about him anymore. Don't do anything about it. Don't read any scripture about it. Those days are over. Those days are over. You say, well, I like my comfort zone. Get ready. God's about to pull the comforter right off of you. Pull it off. And say, come with me, children. I've got some miraculous things to show you. In your own life and in the life of other people. It's by faith. You don't have to do it. It's all Jesus in you. It's all Father in you. Just believe it. Just believe his word. He can't lie. If he said, I've promised you the power of the Holy Spirit, believe it. Well, I don't feel it. Believe it. I didn't see it work. Believe it. Keep working. Keep walking. Start demonstrating by faith that Christ is in you. It's by faith. And the last one there, it's by action. By action. The disciples went. I love that passage where Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and it says, as they went, they were healed. As they went. And I'm saying to you and I, as we go by faith, God begins to do by His Spirit. This is how it works. You can't just sit there and say, okay, God, use me. And when God said, well, get up and lay hands on somebody, I will. It's by faith and action. Raise your hands up to the Lord a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, thank you for doing a work in our lives. Let there be an activation of the gifts of the Spirit right now. A fresh flow of rivers of living water that flow from our belly in our homes and in our jobs, in our cars and in our grocery stores. Rivers of living water that flow out of us. Let your power touch us and let it transform us personally and let it transform the world around us. Right here, right now, us, God. Us, God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.